about this stuff some more. Otherwise, I will talk to you all next month. Have a great night.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Events Committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We are going to be speaking with organizers from the Fight Toxic Prisons Convergence, which also goes by the name Fight Toxic Prisons Campaign, or Campaign to Fight Toxic Prisons. This is a convergence, kind of like a conference, happening in June 14th to 17th, 2019, taking place in Gainesville, Florida. And if you have a second, you're looking that up. It's fighttoxicprisons.wordpress.com. That's fighttoxicprisons.wordpress.com. And some background here is that they are organizing resistance at the intersection of incarceration and the environment, taking a kind of special look at our prison industrial complex, not only from a social justice lens, but also that of an environmental lens as well. And to tell you a little bit more about it, it will be happening again in Gainesville, Florida, and it comes out of the larger abolitionist movement, and it's a collaboration with Abolitionist Law Center, and we're just trying to get somebody patched on the phone here, so just bear with us. So basically, coming from grassroots organizing and advocacy and direct action challenging the prison system, they're putting prisoners at risk of environmental conditions as well. And so this is another thing that the conference talks about. And it's important that we look at the different ways that people are analyzing the mass incarceration, larger prison industrial complex system from an environmental lens as well. So we're still waiting for somebody to get patched on. So we'll talk a little bit more about it. Basically, Fight Toxic Prisons is inspired by the abolitionist movement against mass incarceration and environmental justice movement, both led by communities of color who are hardest hit by prisons and pollution. Both these movements also have long histories of multiracial alliances among those on the front lines of the struggle and those who can offer support and solidarity, which we aim to build on. They've been informed by ongoing research and analysis of the Human Rights Defense Center's Prison Ecology Project, as well as the work of Earth First Prisoner Support Project and the June 11th.org. That's June 11th, the holiday for political prisoners. So some different organizations that are also involved is Rising Tide North America, Appalachia Resist, the Jericho Movement, National Lawyers Guild, Cold River Mountain, Prison Ecology Project, as we mentioned, Radical Action for Mountains and People's Survival, George Jackson University, the Civil Liberties Defense Center, which is also a great thing to mention, too, for folks who were in the Portland area. There will be a special event happening that's being put on by the Civil Liberties Defense Center, and that is about political repression and mass surveillance. That'll be happening at the Social Justice Action Center in Portland on March 3rd. And that's a free event. It'll be happening from about 4 to 6. And we'll have folks from CLDC speaking about these topics, as well as discussing some of the background of the Dakota Access Pipeline that folks have been resisting, and some of the folks who CLDC had also helped to defend and also do some legal observing when they were there. So again, that's a political repression and mass surveillance event happening at the Social Justice Action Center, and that is March 3rd, and the address is 400 Southeast 12th. If you can make it, come by. It's a free event, and you can tell folks about it. We're still trying to get patched in, unfortunately, with folks from Fighting Toxic Prisons. And kind of as we're doing that, we'll kind of read a little bit about some of the other ones that have happened. It looks like it started in Washington, D.C. in 2016, and there was one in Fort Worth in 2017, Pittsburgh in 2018. So 2019 will be the Gainesville, Florida Fight Toxic Prisons Convergence. So make sure you save the date for that and look it up. Again, it's fighttoxicprisons.wordpress.com, and that is fighttoxicprisons.wordpress.com, and we're still getting somebody patched in, so we apologize for the delay here. One thing that they also do with the Fight Toxic Prisons campaign is support political prisoners. And if you're not familiar with Marius Mason, that's one of the people who's on the list here and worth mentioning if you're not familiar with them. Is a political prisoner who's locked up now in Fort Worth, Texas. Marius Mason's probably a famous case, formerly Marie Mason. And you can write to Marius in Fort Worth if you look up Fight Toxic Prisons, and there's a few other organizations that support Marius as well as their own support network. And so these are the kind of people who the Convergence tries to help support. And we're still trying to get somebody patched in from Fight Toxic Prisons now. And it sounds like we are a go. Are you there with us? Hello. Can you hear us? Okay, we're still getting a busy signal. I'll talk a little bit about Marius Mason if you are not familiar. And Marius is a revolutionary anarchist, avid community gardener, musician, parent of two, writer, Earth First organizer, IWW member, and he was an extended care assistant at a small Cincinnati school when arrested on March 10th, 2008 by federal agents, and was convicted in involvement with a December 1999 arson at Michigan State University office, which is a GMO research facility where they're conducting animal cruelty and a January 2000 arson of logging equipment in Mesnick, Michigan. So both of those were claimed by ELF actions. And again, if you look up Marius Mason, you can learn more about their case and write to them. So these are some of the folks who are also supported by the conference. And there's other people here, such as Brian Violencourt, Red Fawn Fallis. So these are folks from all the different kind of movements that have been doing environmental liberation work, and have some recent political prisoners. So it's not just a historic issue. So we are having trouble getting our guest on, so we apologize about that. Looks like we're good to go now. Okay, are you there?
Hello. Yep. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, we're just talking a little bit about the conference. Can you you want to just introduce yourself real quick so we get started?
Yeah. Hey, this is Panayoti Cholkis. I'm with the Campaign to Fight Toxic Prisons. Apologize about technical issues, but I could hear you, but so you couldn't hear me.
Oh,
I heard
shoot.
You talking about the. The convergence that we host and the connection to political prisoners and the environmental movement, and it's very central to where we came from. Myself coming out of the Earth First movement and having dealt with criminal convictions of my own and seeing firsthand some of the ways that jail and prison and the criminal justice system is used against people in the environmental direct action movement, that was influential to me and becoming a part of organizing around the efforts to challenge prisons and looking for a way for the environmental movement to make a contribution, specifically to with the skills and tools and tactics that we've developed. And so that's where a lot of this came from.
And this is number four.
The convergence.
This is number four, right?
Yeah, there'll be... this coming June will be number four.
Great. Can you talk about what kind of things, basically what goes on at the convergence, and then this year, what kind of things you expect that might be different or new projects or what have you?
Yeah, this year it's going to be in Florida, which is where I'm based, and where we have a stronger base of organizing than previous years, where we've partnered with other groups. Like, for example, the first year we held the convergence was in Washington, D.C. We didn't have a huge presence in D.C., but we brought people in. The second year was in Texas, and we had a little bit more of an established organizing group in Texas, and then the third year, Pittsburgh, and again, a little bit more so there. But Florida has been a kind of base of the organizing work we've been doing since the Campaign to Fight Toxic Prisons began. And so I think it's going to look a little bit different because we have really strong relationships with other prison abolition organizers. Our connection with, for example, the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee in Gainesville, which is really strong, has been very tight, and we've teamed up on a number of campaigns and prisoner support efforts. So we'll be developing that further, and we also have some regional campaigns that we want to get, we want to dig into more. For example, a proposed phosphate mine just north of Gainesville that would be basically surrounding an existing massive prison facility. And so we want to talk about that, but also locally it's this year it's going to be closer to the Juneteenth holiday, and being in the South, Juneteenth is a big deal, and locally people celebrate and organize around it, and there's a traditions around that already that we want to lend support to and further kind of deepen the connections and the analysis between environmental justice organizing and prison abolition and these historic anti-racist and abolitionist efforts in the South especially.
Yeah, so when talking about having different locations for the conference every year, what would be special? Well, I use the word special is probably not good, but to talk about the southeastern United States and Florida specifically, how is Florida, you know, again, kind of unique as far as looking at the prison system, as far as folks who might not be familiar with the prison system in Florida?
Well, you know, Florida is constantly being kind of in the spotlight for, you know, instances of prisoner abuse and extreme, you know, aspects of the prison system in the mm-hmm. state. We're one of the largest in the country, I think the third population of prisoners next to California and Texas. We're one of the five states that doesn't pay prisoners anything when it comes to state pay. So, you know, while most prisons still pay a very nominal amount, I think it speaks volumes that there are five states, all in the South, which refuse to pay prisoners anything. We constantly have, you know, issues surrounding price gouging, surrounding attempts to roll back visitation. And these are things that we've engaged with and joined with prisoners and family members of prisoners and helped, you know, put front and center prisoner struggle around these issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, there are things that occur all over the country, but Florida happens to be kind of more magnified. So maybe further give examples. Geo Group is home based here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
JPay, if anyone deals with prisoners, likely you've encountered JPay, one of the major prison profiteers, which, you know, teamed up with Securus a couple years back to run a pretty much a monopoly business on money transfer services, emails, phone calls for prisoners. So a lot of these things, there's some major commissary companies based in Florida. A lot of the major prison profiteers, you know, home base here in Florida as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. For folks just tuning in, you were listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. We're here with organizers with Fight Toxic Prisons Convergence. This is happening on June 14th, 2019, to the 17th, happening in Gainesville, Florida. So we just talked a little bit about the large prison system in Florida and the convergence happening there. What are some things, when these take place, for folks who might not be involved in prison organizing or kind of aware of particular events like this, what do they look like as far as attendance and what kind of things come out of the convergence every year?
Well, the last three convergences that we've hosted have had you know, hundreds of people, between 200 and 400 people participating in a weekend of workshops, panels, discussions, and then actions. We try to always end the convergence on a high note with an action, in some shape or form, expressing solidarity with local and regional organizing efforts. So we anticipate that. We anticipate this year's convergence to be I think larger than previous, for the reasons that I mm-hmm. had earlier mentioned, that we have a strong base of organizing here and recent history around prisoner strike support that's really brought a lot of people into this organizing. So we intend to build off that. And I think we also, you know, happen to be here in Gainesville, Florida, surrounded by major prison facilities, you know, ranging from the federal Coleman complex, which is like over 7,000 federal prisoners and the largest Unicorps facility in the country, and then another 14 to 15 major prisons in the state system, really in any given direction. North Florida is very prison heavy. A lot of the rural economies are based largely in prison economics, and so especially, you know, going up to the Panhandle, there's a long history of abusive prisons and prison organizing. I think we'll see people getting engaged and learning about that history and being a part of, you know, showing solidarity. We haven't quite decided where the action will be, but, you know, based on the history of solidarity actions that have happened here in Florida, people can anticipate it being pretty lively.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. So there's a connection there with not just, you know, it's not just a conference. It's not people presenting papers. It's really people getting their hands dirty in the organizing and getting out in the community and doing some solid work. Can you talk more about what that kind of work on the ground looks like when people come to the conference and they're talking about the work that they're doing and the work that people are collaborating on? What do you see as the kind of things that always stick out that's parallel for all the organizers who are coming from wherever the respective region is? What are the things that usually kind of end up being kind of the pillars of this work?
Well, one major piece of the convergence and of this organizing in general has been centering voices and experiences of people who have been locked up. Mm-hmm. So either former prisoners or having current prisoners call in, or the family and direct support crews of prisoners. So we anticipate that again being front and center at the convergence. We almost always have several panels that have call-ins from prisoners that are engaged and active in organizing, or jailhouse lawyers, or in some way very active in the inside movement. One piece of feedback we got and we're trying to work on incorporating is making sure that time is dedicated not just to hearing the experiences of folks who've been locked up, but also strategizing with them and organizing and building longer term movement goals. I think we've established that we have a strong foundation of communication with people on the inside, and we want to develop that into action-based organizing. So I think that you'll see more strategy and action discussion at this convergence than mm-hmm. in recent years.
What kind of work are people doing in general that are involved with? I mean, not just the convergence, but as far as like the different groups, because you have a very large list of endorsers, and they all kind of do different things. But what are some of the intersections with how that work is pertinent to the larger umbrella of what's fighting toxic prisons, right? But obviously we're talking about kind of the larger, I guess, national movement against mass incarceration, right?
Yeah. I mean, we consider ourselves both a part of the movement for prison abolition and ending mass incarceration, but also for pushing the environmental justice movement forward and merging those two movements. And so we do a lot of coordinating and outreach organizing, like speaking at universities and community groups around the country and traveling and engaging with people in that way, organizing solidarity demos out in front of prisons so that prisoners can hear us on the inside, doing persistent letter writing campaigns that establish direct communication with prisoners. We, along with doing letter writing, that kind of personal letter writing nights, we also try to do several mass mailings a year, reaching in to thousands of prisoners to let them know what we're up to and keeping them in the loop, keeping them abreast with happenings. So, that's always been a big part of our organizing. And then, of course, if you correspond with prisoners, you know that the censorship is really heavy, so organizing responses to the censorship, appealing rejections of our mail, those are all kind of like central day-to-day activities that end up, on the table for us.
Right. And then can you talk a little bit about some of the recent campaigns that are going on regionally? You mentioned one or two things are happening on the ground in your area. Can you give a little more depth on that?
Yeah, well, I want to make sure I mention, this is not in Florida, but an issue that has been coming to a head mm-hmm. here in the Southeast. In Kentucky, we've been fighting a proposed federal prison, and by this point, I think a lot of people have heard about it. Likely, your listeners have heard about the proposal for a USP Letcher federal prison in eastern Kentucky, mm-hmm. and the support for fighting that has largely come from the campaign to fight toxic prisons. We coordinated with lawyers to communicate with federal prisoners all over the country, including prisoners in Florida, to for folks to step up and express their opposition to the construction of this prison based on the possibility of their being moved there. So that's some organizing that's been happening. I think it's important, you know, to think about building on the ground resistance, that if construction was to begin, that we've laid a foundation for, you know, for a direct action campaign, building off this litigation and the grassroots organizing we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth noting some of the hurricane solidarity work that happened over the last year,
mm-hmm.
which was also pretty heavily based in the Southeast. You know, South Carolina and the Panhandle of Florida both saw really robust campaigns around forcing state officials to look at prisoners that are going to be impacted by hurricanes mm-hmm. and have to answer to the public. You know, advocates and family members and allies that were able to generate thousands of phone calls and letters to highlight, you know, the potential disasters and in some cases the aftermath of disasters
mm-hmm.
related to these hurricanes that affected prisoners.
Wow. And what is that looking like right now as far as what's on the table? Is it that people are lobbying to you know, get some people out to relocate them? What are the kind of things that are connected to the different options
for the hurricane mm-hmm. For hurricane relief?
Yeah,
you know, we've been one of the like positions we've taken consistently and tried to, you know, push into the public realm for discussion is the fact that a lot of prisons are just not equipped or prepared to deal with these sort of things, and
mm-hmm.
You know, adding it to the list of reasons that prison populations need to be drastically reduced. And you know, we've advocated for not just moving prisoners but also looking at how the prison population, if you like clemency and parole, you know, tools that the state has at its disposal, it's supposed to be utilizing, that, you know, that generally are very poorly put into practice. Like Florida, for example, hasn't used a parole system for almost 2 decades, and you know, has a clemency of thousands of people backed up on a list of clemency applications that we think all those things could provide an avenue to start reducing the prison population, so that, you know, when disasters hit, they don't take as big of a toll,
mm-hmm.
and that's like an immediate kind of advocacy position that we've been taking.
Right, right. There's so many different pieces to that work.
Yep.
So, can we wrap up talking about how do people link up? How do people get in touch? I mean, there's the convergence itself. You're mentioning some of these, you know, things that people should be getting involved with nationally. So, how should people be taking action?
Well, you know, locally, I think this year we tried to set a model that other folks could run with here in Gainesville. The Fight Toxic Prisons organizers, along with IWalk organizers, around challenging prison contracts. And mm-hmm. I wanted to get to mention that, because I think it's something we're hoping people come to Gainesville for the convergence. And one of the things they leave with is an idea about using the strategy that we just successfully implemented here where we live, enforcing the city and county where the convergence is happening to stop using prison labor and cut the contracts with the state, to send a message about the conditions of prison slavery. And so I think if people are planning to come to Florida, or even if they're not and they want to look into what we were able to do here, I think that's a really powerful way to engage people. You know, that a lot of times for us here, prisoner strike solidarity has become more difficult
mm-hmm.
because of repression and censorship of communication. So, you know, I think this is a kind of new strategy that we've been implementing, and we're hoping to see it amplified in other places around the country.
Great. And online, people should be looking at the website is fighttoxicprisons.wordpress.com, which is fighttoxicprisons.wordpress.com. There is a Facebook event for the convergence itself, which simply is Fight Toxic Prisons Convergence 2019. There's also a page for that. Are there other things you think people should be looking at online before we wrap up?
Yeah, we'll be having a registration form coming out soon as well, so folks can start letting us know they're coming. We start planning for logistics. And also, we'll be kicking off a fundraiser. We always raise money to help support travel costs. So if you are someone who would benefit from having assistance or travel that would help you get there, you let us know, and we can make sure that we're planning around that and raising money to offer support in that way.
All right, right on. Thanks so much. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Thanks to our guests. Big thanks to our engineer, Danielle Parks. Free them all.
Baby, you understand me now.
Time is 7 p.m. and you are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Trillium Public Charter School in North Portland. Enrollment for the 2019-2020 school year is now open for students K-12 with an open house on February 21st at 6:30 p.m. More information can be found online at Trillium Charter School.